Jordan, Smith Jones Church. My message this morning is called Tongues and Prophecy. And you can turn to me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I'm going to start at verse 1, and I'm going to read this from the Amplified Version. It says, pursue this love with eagerness, make it your goal, yet earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual gifts to be used by believers for the benefit of the church, but especially that you may prophesy to foretell the future, to speak a new message from God to the people. For one who speaks in an unknown tongue does not speak to people, but to God, for no one understands him or catches his meaning. But by the Spirit he speaks mysteries, secrets, truths, hidden things. But on the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for edification, to promote their spiritual growth, and speaks words of encouragement, to uphold and advise them concerning the matters of God, and speaks words of consolation to compassionately comfort them. One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but one who prophesies edifies the church, promotes growth in spiritual wisdom, devotion, holiness, and joy. This whole chapter is going to be, Paul goes into depth about the difference between tongues and prophecy. And I think what it was, the Corinthians at the time, there was a bunch of people, they would come to church, and a lot of them, they had the gift of tongues, and they were all, speaking in tongues, yet that doesn't edify somebody else unless there's an interpretation. And he's saying here that prophecy is better for the body. Tongues is very, very important. You need to pray in tongues if you don't, because it builds you up. It builds your inner man up by the Holy Spirit. And it's like a secret language between you and God. Have you ever prayed for something and you come to the end of words, and so the only thing you can do then on is just pray in the Spirit, which is praying in tongues, and it's very, very effective, let alone it builds you up, which is important, because then if you're strengthening yourself in the Holy Spirit, then you can be able to be a witness to others, just like this morning, What Aunt Jessica was talking about, we are our own worst critics. If you got to be strengthened in yourself, that way you can pray for others, because it's hard to pray for somebody else if you feel really weak. And so prophecy here, when he's talking about prophecy, it's not necessarily just like prophets, like, I'm going to speak in the, something about, some sort of prophetic event. A lot of this prophecy is just the basic, if you say Jesus Christ is Lord, that is prophecy. Or just like the testimonies this morning, that's prophecy, that's encouraging, that's building each other up, Basically, prophecy is just speaking God's word, Those people that aren't here today because they're not feeling well in their body, they need healing. Well, prophecy is, by Jesus' stripes, they are healed. That's prophecy, So prophecy, even though he's talking about prophecy here, it's not like, I'm going to, you hear about prophets and stuff prophesying big natural disasters or something. That's not necessarily what Paul's talking about. He's just talking about basically you're prophesying to each other. You're encouraging each other in the Lord. So let's go on. Verse 5 says, now I wish that all of you spoke in unknown tongues, but even more, I wish that you would prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater and more useful than the one who speaks in tongues, unless he translates or explains what he says so that the church may be edified, instructed, improved, and strengthened. So there are times, when someone in a public setting like this will speak in tongues, and then either he or somebody else will translate it, and that is for the body. But most of the time, speaking in tongues is for yourself or just praying between you and God. So verse 6, now believers, if I come to you speaking in unknown tongues, how will I benefit you unless I also speak to you clearly? either by revelation, revealing God's mystery, or by knowledge, teaching about God, or by prophecy, foretelling the future, speaking a new message from God to the people, or by instruction, teaching precepts that develop spiritual maturity. Yet, even lifeless things, whether flute or harp, when producing a sound, if they do not produce distinct musical tones, how will anyone listening know what is piped or played? And if the war trumpet produces an indistinct sound, who will prepare himself for battle? So it is with you if you speak words in an unknown tongue that are not intelligible and clear. How will anyone understand what you are saying? You will be talking into the air, wasting your breath. There are, I suppose, a great many kinds of languages in the world unknown to us, and none is lacking in meaning. But if I do not know the meaning of the language, I will appear to be a foreigner to the one who is speaking, since he knows exactly what he is saying. And the one who is speaking will appear to be a foreigner to me. So it is with you, since you are so very eager to have spiritual gifts and manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in ways that will build up the church spiritually. So I think this, you know, Paul, like I say, Paul goes into depth here because I think he saw in the Corinthians, you know, they wanted the Holy Spirit. They wanted these gifts, you know, and speaking in tongues was one of them. But again, I think they were coming together and people were speaking in tongues. They really weren't getting built up because, again, for another person, that doesn't do it. So he's like, what you're eager for is good, but it needs to be more about prophecy. You need to be able to understand what somebody's doing, you know. So verse 13, therefore, let one who speaks in a tongue pray that he may be gifted to translate or explain what he says. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unproductive because it does not understand what my spirit is praying. Then what am I to do? I will pray with the spirit by the Holy Spirit that is within me, and I will pray with the mind using words I understand. I will sing with the spirit by the Holy Spirit that is within me, and I will sing with the mind using words I understand. Otherwise, if you bless and give thanks to God in the spirit only, how will any outsider or someone who is not gifted in spiritual matters say the amen of agreement to your thanksgiving, since he does not know what you are saying? You are giving thanks well enough in a way that God is glorified, but the other person who does not understand you is not edified and spiritually strengthened, since he cannot join in your thanksgiving. I thank God that I speak in unknown tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in public worship, I would rather say 5 understandable words in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue which others cannot understand. Which I think is just like this, you know, like if I got up here and all I did was spoke in tongues, what good would that benefit you guys? Because you wouldn't understand anything. And that's exactly what Paul's saying. He would rather speak 5 words that somebody else can be encouraged and understand by than just pray in tongues, you know, or speak in an unknown language. So verse 20, brothers and sisters, do not be children, immature, childlike in your thinking. Be infants in matters of evil, completely innocent and inexperienced, but in your minds be mature adults. It is written in the law, by men of strange tongues and by the lips of foreigners I will speak to this people, and not even then will they listen to me, says the Lord. Therefore, unknown tongues are meant for a supernatural sign, not to believers, but to unbelievers who might be receptive. While prophecy, foretelling the future, speaking a new message from God to the people, is not for unbelievers, but for believers. So then, if the whole church gathers together and all of you speak in unknown tongues, and outsiders or those who are not gifted in spiritual matters or unbelievers come in, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if all prophesy foretelling the future, speaking a new message from God to the people, and an unbeliever or outsider comes in, he is convicted of his sins by all, and he is called to account by all because he can't understand what is being said. The secrets of his heart are laid bare, and so falling on his face, he will worship God, declaring that God is worthy among you. So I'm going to stop there, but that's exactly, so like if somebody came in here that has no idea about speaking in tongues and we were all speaking in tongues, that would scare somebody out, you know. You walk into a place, you have no idea what they're talking about. They're crazy people to you. Yet, if you're prophesying, then that convicts them, and it shows them what God reveals to them. Just like, you know, again, the testimonies. Like if somebody came in this morning, and everybody who gave a testimony, instead of being a testimony, they just spoke in an unknown tongue. That will get done no good, but yet they hear you guys giving glory to God for all everything that God's done. Well, then that convicts them, and that shows them, you know, truly God is amongst you. And so that's what I encourage you today, is that Paul here, again, he's not saying that, you know, obviously you don't, it's not to not speak in tongues. He says, I speak in tongues more than y'all. I wish you would all speak in tongues, you know. So it's very important to pray in tongues, but at the same time, when we come together, it's very important to prophesy, which again is just what we were doing this morning with testimonies, is what that's encouraging one another. So that's what it comes down to, what he's saying. When we're amongst each other, we should prophesy to each other, which again is just basically encouraging each other, burning each other up in the most holy fire, if you know. So that is it.
Everyone.
Hello.
Okay, so this week we are talking about patience. I should use the mic. Fruit of the Spirit, we've talked about love, joy, peace, and now we're going to talk about patience. Patience is long suffering and perseverance. Amen. So I've been sharing the opposite were the antonyms, the opposite meaning, the opposite words to whatever fruit of the Spirit we're talking about. So the opposites of patience are, and also perseverance, are frustration, fear, impatience, laziness, indifference, bored, defiant, unmanageable, unruly, ungovernable, wavering, quitting, faltering, complaining, protesting, fed up, weary, tired, resistant, disobedient, insubordinate, rebellious, contrary, disloyal, hesitant, and faithless. That is a lot of opposite things. And it's amazing, like you just have one word of patience, and it only means long-suffering and perseverance. And there's all of these things that are the complete opposite of what patience is. And I wanted to read those because quite often we feel each of those things in our lives. Whether we are fed up with something, we're tired of something, we're frustrated with something, we are tired of dealing with people. You know, sometimes we're disobedient because we just want our own way. You know, like sometimes that can be in subtle ways. You know, we may not tell another person that we want our own way, but in our hearts we're thinking, I'm not going to do that. I don't care what that person tells me. I'm going to do what I want to do, right? Or if God tells us something, God will say, you need to do this and this, and in your heart you're saying, no, God, I don't want to do this and this. I don't want to. I want to do my own thing, you know? So there's a lot that goes in with that. So patience reveals spiritual growth and maturity. It reveals a person's level of faith in Jesus. Patience strengthens your faith, teaching you the basis of trusting in God. There is growth in patience. Without patience, there is no growth. When things happen too quickly, you don't get the best. For example, when you eat fruit that's not ripe, it doesn't have as many nutrients, it doesn't have as many vitamins and minerals and antioxidants as a ripe fruit does. But in our impatience, we want things to happen so quickly. You know, like we want to love people better, and we want to have joy, and we want to have peace. But without patience and letting that fruit process in our hearts, then we'll do things immaturely, or we'll do things too quickly that shouldn't be done, because we're like, I do love this person, and it's like, no, that fruit is not in your heart, it is not ripe yet. You know, so it's like you're forcing something that isn't ready yet. So, you know, unripe fruit, it's bitter and sour, and it doesn't taste as sweet, okay? So don't give away what you don't have, amen? And the interesting thing about overripe fruit is it loses nutrients. So not only should you wait until something is mature in your life, but you shouldn't wait once it is mature. If you have the love of God inside of you, if you have joy inside of you and peace inside of you, don't hold that in. It is meant to be shared and given with all of those around you. But if you're holding that in, then it's not going to benefit anyone else, right? So patience is the part of the fruit of the Spirit where growth and maturity are happening. It gives you the supernatural ability to keep pushing through, to keep fighting the battle until you get the victory, to keep running the race until you receive the prize. And we're going to turn to James chapter 1. And I'm going to read a lot out of the Amplified today, so bear with me. If you have your electronic Bibles, you can turn to the Amplified. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so James chapter 1, I'm going to start at verse 3. It says, "Be assured that the testing of your faith through experience produces endurance, leading to spiritual maturity and inner peace. And let endurance have its perfect result and do a thorough work so that you may be perfect and completely developed in your faith, lacking in nothing." And you know, we talked about how Jesus said, "Abide in me and I'll abide in you." So patience is you trusting God that he is working inside of you, maturing and growing that fruit that you need for others. So patience is connected to faith 100%. Just like without love, you have no faith. It doesn't work. Faith works by love. So you need patience to grow that inside of you. There is wisdom in a patient person. Have you ever noticed that? People who are patient and they have a patient attitude are very wise people. They don't respond immaturely. They don't respond off the tip of a hat. They respond just the thing that is supposed to be responded to. They respond in a mature level. So they're thinking about what they're saying to you. They're not just like just saying the first thing that comes to their head, or doesn't even come to their head, they just say it. They're actually engaging in a conversation with you, right? I want you to turn to James chapter 5. And then I'm gonna share a little bit. I've started reading this book, and it's about how to strengthen your body and how your body reacts to exercising and what it does and what you should do. You know, a lot of times, I think the book is called Beat the Gym. It's a book that someone gave Michael many, many years ago, and I started reading it just for the fun of it. And as I'm reading it, I'm also studying on the same thing, and I thought, well, thanks, God, I really needed that. And so I'm going to just tell you about the book as I'm reading this verse, because your spiritual self is tied in with your physical self and with your flesh, all of your reactions and such. So James 5, I'm going to start at verse 7. "So wait patiently, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits expectantly for the precious harvest from the land, being patient about it until it receives the early and late rains. You too, be patient. Strengthen your hearts. Keep them energized and firmly committed to God, because the coming of the Lord is near." And so the part I want to point out is strengthen your hearts. Keep them energized and firmly committed to God. And so I want to compare physically how working out strengthens your heart. So as I'm reading this book, the guy is recommending, you know, you want to do some cardio. And the reason why you want to do cardio is because every day your body actually gets stronger. And so your heart can handle more and it can help your lungs breathe better, and you can take in fuller breaths. Your oxygen is more efficient in your body. And so he's like, so you have to be, you ever heard that slogan by Nike? It says, just do it. And he puts in there, just do it effectively, persistently, repetitively. You know, don't just do it, but just do it right. You know, keep going with it. And he said, the reason why is because when your heart gets stronger and stronger, you're able to do more and more in life. And things that used to wear you out won't wear you out as much. And so as I'm thinking about all that, then I read this verse, strengthen your hearts, keep them energized and firmly committed to God. I thought about how we have to exercise our inner man, our spiritual selves. And a lot of that is, how are we living in our flesh? You know, we've talked about when you have to overcome different things in your life in order to walk spiritually. It takes an effort to say no to certain things. When you would rather be angry with somebody, it takes effort to not be angry. And so you have to fight your flesh. The more that you are fighting your flesh with your spirit, the easier it gets. The stronger your inner man gets to defeat your flesh. So instead of your flesh constantly ruling you with hatred and bitterness and unforgiveness and pride and jealousy and all of these different things, instead your flesh is overtaken with love and joy and peace and patience. And so that's where it's really, really important, and they actually go hand in hand. Because I don't know if you guys remember when I talk about fasting. So fasting is not eating. You know, you can say whatever you want with it. It is just plainly just not eating. That's all it is. And your body does not like that. When you don't feed your body, it will yell at you, and you'll get hangry, and a lot of things can happen. And a lot of times, it's like you skip one meal, and your body goes into hysterics, you know? But when you train your body to skip a meal and skip another meal, and you build up your spirit man to be strengthened, what happens is your body tries to fight it, but your inner man strengthens your outer flesh. It is supernatural. It's kind of amazing how that happens. It almost like doesn't make sense physically, because in the world, nothing spiritually makes sense. But what happens is our spiritual selves actually renews our body inside of us. And so we can go quite a while without eating. You know, we can't go only a few days without drinking. Okay, so don't try that. But it's a good way to strengthen your inner man, to get your flesh under the subjection of your spirit, right? And the more that you do that, it actually gives you the stamina to overcome the other areas in your life that you're fighting with, the other things that you're having problem with. Like, I've heard of people who have had a hard time quitting smoking, but because they've fasted, suddenly it becomes easier, because they didn't have to have that anymore. They got out of the habit of doing that, and so it got easier, you know, to quit. And then there's people who have a habit of just overeating in general. You know, like that's something I have to be careful with. You know, I have to discipline my body not to do that. So fasting actually helps me, because when I focus on God, then I'm so into growing my spirit, and it's overtaking my flesh. So when I do go back to eating, it doesn't control me. It doesn't have that number one thing in my life. So that's just an example of strengthening your heart. Amen? Okay, so our physical bodies can be a lot of work to take care of, right? They can be a lot of work. And in the end, they are not the most important part of us. Our inner man, our spiritual self, is the most important. What we miss, though, is the connection between the two. The bad habits that we develop to please our flesh actually hinder our spiritual growth. By training and disciplining our flesh to do things we don't always want or even like to do, our faith grows. So like sometimes we don't want to help others, or sometimes we don't want to love others, or sometimes we don't want to spend that time reading our Bible or praying or anything along those lines, because our flesh is like, no, I'd rather do this, or I'd rather go to the movies, or I'd rather hang out with my friends, or I'd rather just sit on the couch and watch Netflix for 20 hours. You know, our flesh is like really cruel sometimes. And we're thinking, oh man, that's so fun. You know, yeah, I want to do that. But then at the same time, our spirit man is weakening and it's not able to do as much. And it affects every part of our lives. When we are not disciplined in our flesh, we're not disciplined in our spirit. And so it's harder for us to do things that could help other people. It's harder for us to minister to someone. It's harder for us to go preach the gospel anywhere, right? It's harder for us to even want to go to work sometimes. It's hard to do anything that we're supposed to be doing in life when we let our flesh take over, right? So I want to skip down to verse 11 in chapter 5. It says, and this is still amplified, you know we call those blessed, happy, spiritual, prosperous, favored by God, who were steadfast and endured difficult circumstances. You have heard of the patient endurance of Job, and you have seen the Lord's outcome, how he richly blessed Job. The Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. And so the thing about patience, and I want to point this out, is we have to learn to have patience for three different things. We have to have patience with God, waiting on him. We have to have patience with ourselves, not condemning ourselves when we mess up, that, you know what, I messed up and God is still working on me. And we have to have patience with others, that God is still working on them. When they mess up and they make us mad, well, it is our responsibility to pray for them, right? We cannot change a person, only God can. So I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to run through a lot of scripture here. I'm going to read 1 through 3. It says, and this is again amplified, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who by faith have testified to the truth of God's absolute faithfulness, stripping off every unnecessary weight and the sin which so easily and cleverly entangles us, let us run with endurance and active persistence the race that is set before us, looking away from all that will distract us and focusing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of faith, the first incentive for our belief and the one who brings our faith to maturity, who for the joy of accomplishing the goal set before him endured the cross, disregarding the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, revealing his deity, his authority, and the completion of his work. Just consider and meditate on him who endured from sinners such bitter hostility against himself. Consider it all in comparison with your trials, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So just an example, Jesus is the perfect example of patience. So we always want to be like Jesus, that our source of the fruit of the Spirit is from him. Amen. He is the perfect example that we should follow. And I want you to turn to Romans chapter 12. And I'm going to start at verse 9. Romans 12, 9, it says, love is to be sincere and active, the real thing, without guile and hypocrisy. Hate what is evil, detest all ungodliness, do not tolerate wickedness. Hold on tightly to what is good. And I just want to point this out real quick. You know, sometimes we look at this verse and we only think that we should hate what is evil in other people. We think, well, that's them out there, and that's my crazy friends who don't ever do what God wants. I should detest their ungodliness and not tolerate their wickedness. So sometimes we read this verse and we think it's just about other people. We don't realize that this is about us. We should hate any evil, any ungodliness, and any wickedness that is in us. And we should hold on tightly to what is good. Amen? Right. Always look at yourself first. Verse 10, be devoted to one another with authentic brotherly affection as members of one family. Give preference to one another in honor, never lagging behind in diligence, aglow in the spirit, enthusiastically serving the Lord, constantly rejoicing in hope because of our confidence in Christ, steadfast and patient in distress, devoted to prayer, continually seeking wisdom, guidance, and strength. And then I want you to turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Just going to read that. You can just write that down. I'll read it real quick. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, we earnestly urge you believers, admonish those who are out of line, the undisciplined, the unruly, the disorderly. Encourage the timid who lack spiritual courage. Help the spiritually weak. Be very patient with everyone, always controlling your temper. And so that's like, you know what? Yes, we have to help each other, and sometimes we have to tell each other, hey, that is not right. Hey, you shouldn't be doing this. Hey, you need to stop doing this, especially when it's unruly and disorderly, right? So like for example, if someone in the middle of the church service, we're all listening to God's word or something like that, and someone just starts yelling and arguing with someone else in the middle of the worship service, that would be disorderly, right? And so you would have to deal with that. Does it make that person, you know, like you don't love that person? No, you're dealing with them because you love them. Yeah. You know that if they're doing that, then there's an issue that needs to be dealt with. And so that's what we're here for. It's not that we're just going to kick them out of church and be like, oh, there's no hope for you. No, it's like, oh, we've been there. We need that help too, right? And then Isaiah 35:4, you can just write this down too. It says, oh, actually, I want to read 3 too. Encourage the exhausted and make staggering knees firm. Say to those with an anxious and panic-stricken heart, be strong and fear not. Indeed, your God will come with vengeance for the ungodly. The retribution of God will come, but he will save you. And I want to read that because it is so amazing how, and I'm going to read some notes that I wrote over the week, when I was meditating on patience. So bear with me as I pull this up. So we have to be patient in our judgments of how a person is dealt with. When someone has wronged us or wronged a person we know, we want God's wrath to immediately fall, like the disciples. You know, like the Samaritans were throwing stones at them, and the disciples were like, Jesus, why can't we call fire down from heaven? Do you want us to call fire down from heaven like Elijah did and burn them all up? And Jesus is like, you are of a spirit that you don't even know. Because that's not how Jesus was. He didn't do that. He only loved people. And that's what he was here to change. And then we completely forget about God even having grace and mercy. Funny how we want mercy. We want forgiveness. We want others to forgive us for what we have done to them. But when someone else hurts us, we cry hellfire and damnation. Isn't that amazing how we do that? And then I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. You can actually turn there. I'll read a few verses out of there. So just keeping in mind, patience is something that you actively use all of the time, just like love. You have to actively walk in patience your whole life. Ephesians chapter 4 says, "So I, the prisoner of the Lord, appeal to you to live a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. That is, to live a life that exhibits godly character, moral courage, personal integrity, and mature behavior. A life that expresses gratitude to God for your salvation. With all humility, forsaking self-righteousness and gentleness, maintaining self-control, with patience, bearing with one another in unselfish love." And so it's not like that's easy. It's not like, you know, like that just, you become a Christian and then suddenly you're 100% patient with people. Suddenly you're 100% loving and you have perfect peace 100% all of the time and nothing goes wrong. And you can handle anything because you have the joy of the Lord and it's your strength. No. That is the reason why it is called fruit. Because it takes time for that to grow in your life. It is not something that comes right away, but it does come. And it comes stronger and stronger and gives you more and more ability the more that you abide in Christ. That's why you need him. You can't just be like, well, I can do this on my own and I can put my body into subjection, because that's what a lot of religions try to do. They think, I can be this good person to people and I can do this and I can do that. And they try to always be good. That's what religion does. It's just about being good and doing things that pertain to that religion. You know, like in Buddhism, you know, you want to get rid of this body because it holds you back. And it's like, well, God gave us this body. He put us here for a reason. And so that doesn't make sense. But our bodies coming under the subjection of our spirit are the way that we live this life here in this earth and the way that we are a blessing to others. If we're not here, does that really benefit each other? No. As long as you're here living on the earth, then you will benefit one another, right? Or you will not benefit one another. Whatever the Lord is doing in your heart. Amen. Okay, and then Colossians, oh no, wait, I'm going to read some more notes, I'm sorry. The awesome thing about the body of Christ is when we are weak and struggling, we have fellow soldiers who help us in our battles. We help each other carry the extra burdens that can weigh us down. We have the supernatural power of God inside of us, but if we are bogged down, weighed down by the cares and troubles of this world, we almost forget how to walk in victory or even how to pray. Being with other believers brings a special strength in our adversity. As you are communicating with another believer, the supernatural power of God in them actually stirs up and activates the supernatural power of God inside of you, therefore giving you the strength to overcome trials and tribulations. All fruit of the Spirit develops through patience. Amen? So I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 3. And I'm going to read 12 and 13. So as God's own chosen people, who are holy, set apart, sanctified for his purpose, and well-beloved by God himself, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, which has the power to endure whatever injustice or unpleasantness comes with good temper. And that almost sounds like, it almost sounds impossible when you think about, wow, I can go through that trial with a good temper? Like, that person is destroying my life, and I'm going to go through that with a good temper? You know, so it almost is like, how do I even get the power to endure that? And you don't on your own, but supernaturally you do. You know, like, if you think about Jesus on the cross, like, he literally had the power, and he told his disciples, I have the power to call down 12 legions of angels. And a legion is like, I think, according to Roman times, it was 2,000. So he had the power to call down thousands of angels for all of these people that were destroying him, putting him in prison and mocking him and beating him. Jesus, he had such willpower in himself that he was giving himself up for a sacrifice for our sins, that instead of giving into, he could have just given up. He could have been like, I can't do this. It's too hard. It is too hard for me to go through. I'll just call down angels and be done with it. God will make another way. But he didn't. Jesus submitted and he was patient and he went through the trials and the tribulations. He went through death and he went through hell because he loved us. Amen. Being patient is activating your faith in God. It is revealing strength in you that is coming from your spirit. I'm going to read verse 13. Bearing graciously with one another. So again, that's not only are you patient with the circumstances in your life, the trials and tribulations, but you're patient with one another. And willingly forgiving each other if one has a cause for complaint against another, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so should you forgive. And that is not always easy, but I'm telling you, it gets easier. It really does. The thing about it is, you have to know that you can't forgive someone on your own willpower, on your own strength, on your own might. You can't just be like, okay, I'm going to forgive that person, and you're just doing that on your own. Because it doesn't work that way. Because in your flesh, you may want to forgive something, but that power of unforgiveness and bitterness in your flesh is so strong that when you see that person, each and every time, it's just going to grow worse and worse. But spiritually, when you say, I choose to forgive that person, you're saying the same thing, but you have the backup of the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you. So you're saying, I'm forgiving that person, but you're not forgiving them on your own. You're actually using the power of love that is inside of you to forgive someone. And so it's really incredible. You know, a lot of times people will give testimonies of how they have been bitter against someone for 45 years or whatever. And then suddenly they trust in the Lord and they're like, God, I don't want to carry this anymore. This is terrible and it is destroying my life. And God takes it away because it is supernatural. It is the kind of forgiveness that you just can't develop in yourself. It is something that God develops in you. Amen. And then turn to Psalm chapter 37, and I'll close out with this. Psalm 37, verse 7. Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for him and entrust yourself to him. So this is something that you have to do every single day. You have to make the choice to be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for him and entrust yourself to him. No one else can do this for you. No one else can be still before the Lord except you. You know, like, we have family and we're like, I wish that I could just teach my kids or my uncles and aunts or fathers and mothers, whoever it is in our life that wrestles with impatience. Sometimes we're like, I wish I could just put that inside of them, that it's going to be okay, that they just need to wait. But we can't. We can pray for someone, but each person for themselves has to decide to be still before the Lord, to wait patiently for him and entrust themselves to him. Do not fret, whine, agonize because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and abandon wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For those who do evil will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. And I just want to leave you with that, because you don't have to worry about taking vengeance on other people. And it says in another verse, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And so in your heart, when someone does you wrong, and it's like, I just want revenge. You know, they are trying to destroy my life. Every little thing that they do, and they're not stopping. They keep agonizing me, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. And if you are dwelling on that, it is frustrating, right? You just wish that person would just stop. Like, they're evil, and they don't care. They just want to destroy your life. But vengeance is God's. And if you will trust in him, he will take care of that. Amen? And so that's where you have to just let the fruit of patience have its perfect work in your life. Amen? You make that choice. How do I want to be? Do I want to be a person who is loving? Do I want to be a person who has peace and is full of joy and is patient with others? If you want to be that person, then you need to dwell with the Lord, because the closer you are to the Lord and the more that you are listening to him and you're abiding in him and you're talking to him, the more you'll become like him, the more that fruit will just come forth into maturity. And I'm telling you, it will be easier to live your life. It'll be easier for others to live with you. Amen. When the fruit of the Spirit is in operation in your life, it helps everyone, right? Okay, you can go ahead and stand and we'll pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, God, we do thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, for each and every person who isn't here today that was sick, God. We just lift them up to you that they are healed by Jesus' stripes. We ask you would strengthen them so they are able to do whatever work they need to do tomorrow and this week, in Jesus' name. And God, we just thank you that you are maturing patience in our hearts. God, where we have been unruly, where we have been disobedient, where we have let fear and frustration rule in our flesh, we ask that you would forgive us, God. Lord, where we have been weary in doing good, where we have felt like just giving up, Lord Jesus, help us, God. We cast all of our cares upon you, Lord, because you care for us. Jesus, we choose to make you the Lord of our lives. Holy Spirit, fill us up and let words of prophecy come forth to encourage each and every one of us. As we're talking to each other, as we're spending time with each other, Holy Spirit, speak through us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.